What's up, Toasties? We're here with Pyro Toasty Talks. It's the hostie with the mostie, David, here with Renee and Zona and Brian. And today we are discussing custom orders, the do's, the don'ts, the maybe don'ts, and the absolute, if you take anything away from this, undying importance of getting a down payment. This has been my part of the job, and now I'm going to pass it off to Renee.
Oh, I'm starting? Okay. Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Say hello, Brian.
Okay, so custom orders. Zona has a lot to say about custom orders, and I think that that's because you do a lot more custom orders than I do. So I feel like this is going to be mostly Zona with a little bit of Renee insight. So you want to get started?
Sure.
Okay. First question, do you do custom orders? I know your answer is yes, and so yes. Why?
I mean, I do custom orders mostly because, you know, I enjoy doing them. Okay. I like the, I guess the ability to do something different. Like, I know what's going on in my head. I know what I would like to do. But I guess the people pleaser in me likes to have something new, to work on something else, to think about something I haven't thought about. And customs generally give me something else to plan on. You know, somebody else's idea that I can bring to fruition, I guess, is really what it is.
Okay. So the draw, like, okay, so when you were first starting BZ Fur, were you wanting to do customs going into it? Because a lot of people like are starting their pyrography business and thinking, oh, I'll offer customs, because that seems to be a good, like, the starting point. It's a good way for people to think that they'll make money. It's a money maker. I can do custom stuff. But not everyone has good luck with customs or enjoys doing customs. So when you started BZ Furfur, were you like, yes, customs? Or did it just kind of like happen over time that you decided I want to do this? Like, how did that come to be?
You know, I did not start off the business thinking I'm going to do customs. This is what I'm going to do. It has, again, to do with the people pleaser and the imposter syndrome. It's like, oh, I don't know if I'm really good enough to do customs, right? The lack of confidence in myself. Like, I know I wanted to make stuff. And, like, when I started with the customs, it was just, like, put their name on the back, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe a quote on the back of the coasters. So that was what customs started off to be. But then over time, you know, especially when we were doing the markets and people were asking, well, do you do customs? Like, and we'd say, well, what did you have in mind? And they'd tell me something. And I was like, you know, that's something that I could do. I think I could make that happen. And, like, that's how me doing customs became a thing.
Okay.
It started off with that, and even now when someone asks if I do customs, I tell them that I do customs, but what is it that they're thinking of? Mm-hmm. Like, what do they have in mind? Because it's about managing their expectations, right? Because if they say, I want a custom, and then you're just like, oh, cool, I can do that, but you haven't discussed it, or they haven't been really explicit with what it is they see customs as, or what they want it to look like or be, you guys could be on two different pages. And then when you make it, it's just like, oh, crap. It's just not, you know, they hate it, or it's not what they want. And, you know, then it's like, oh, well, I didn't really like it, so I don't want to pay for it. You know, and that just leads into other things. Right. But that's, I think I probably handle my custom orders probably a little more micromanaged than some people do, or I have more steps, or I'm a little more anal about it. But I found that being more or detail-oriented about the details, mm-hmm. with it, has less likely that there's going to be issues in the long run.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay, so you said a couple times, like, you offer the customs because you like making people happy, not necessarily because it was like a lucrative money, like way to make money.
Yes. It's doing custom orders is a lot of what I do, and it has been, it's a good bulk of the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's turned out to be a bulk of the business, but it's not exactly what we game planned to be the business.
Sure.
So
do you like the business as it is with that model, or do you wish it was different in any way?
That's a good question. You know, it's,
I know for me and David, like, if we turned into all customs, I would totally burn out. Like, that is absolutely not what I want. No, it doesn't matter if I have 12 custom orders pending. Like, I will get so burnt out on custom orders, I don't want to do it at all anymore. But you seem totally content. At least you appear to be totally content. You're always working on custom orders, so it's like a big thing for you.
Yes, custom orders are definitely a big bulk. I don't think that I'd want to do customs only. Mm-hmm. Just like you, that is not the model that I want. I don't want to only be doing custom orders. Okay. One, I'd get bored. Two, it's just, I want to be able to also have time to make something that I dreamed up and that I want to make.
Yeah.
And if I've got 10 custom orders, I mean, like you said, that's great because the money is there, but then it's like I'm putting off that project that
you want to do.
Right. That one that makes you happy, right? That you're going to love making, that you think you're gonna love making, right? But I have to keep putting those off because I have to do the customs first, because they have to be the priority, because
there's money, there's guaranteed money. Yeah
Well, the way that we do customs is that for the most part they pay for it in full. Mm-hmm. When they place the order, they pay for it in full. The only time I haven't required a full payment is if it's a really big order that I know I don't have the wood on hand. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I got a custom order for a 6-foot sign last year, and I didn't have a 6-foot sign. I didn't have a piece of wood that was 6 feet long that was a decent size for a sign that would be the appropriate size. So I knew I had to go to my supplier first, and I was just like, well, I didn't know how much that was going to cost, so I didn't want to say it's going to be $300 and then when I get there the wood itself is $150
right
off the bat, and then I still have work to do, and then like basically I'm doing half the work for free. So I'm always honest with them, and I tell them, well, my work will probably be X amount if I had to give it a price. But then it's also the cost of the wood. And I tell them straight up that, you know, I have to go to my supplier first. I have to check to see if they have the wood. And I'll get, I'll text you to get your approval on the wood and the price. Right. And then I'll give you the price. Right. And then I'll give you a price at that point. And then you either
pay,
say yay or nay.
Yeah.
Right. And then but my big thing is I will not burn until it's paid in full.
Mm. That's a really good model to have. That is something that a lot of people struggle with. I remember, like, in Burn Club, when we would have our Burn Club meetings, you know, we talked about customs a lot, and there are a lot of people who don't take full payment, me included. I don't always take full payment. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I know that there are a lot of people who, like, don't know what the final price is going to be, so they can't offer, like, a full payment option, or they just don't have the confidence in themselves to take the full payment. Or maybe you're brand new and you haven't been jaded yet to the system, and you have hope that, like, people are going to pay me, right? Like, people will back out. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, your best friend's husband's dog. Like, it, you know? Mm-hmm. people back out, family members back out, and like it sucks when that happens. So there are a lot of people who don't take full payment.
Once somebody's actually invested money into the work that you're going to do for them,
yeah,
they feel a sense of commitment to it.
As they should.
Like, they feel like they now own a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't put the money into it yet, there's a very good chance that they're going to feel like, this is not something that I own yet. I'm still deciding.
Yes.
Whereas it's more definitive once they put that down payment down that they can come and say, yes, this is something that I'm a part of now.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that there is something to be said for not wanting to take the full price on the spot. But I do think it's very dangerous to say, I'm not going to take anything. I think
need
to, even if you come back to them and say, I honestly don't know how much this is going to cost. It's probably going to be more than $100, or it's probably going to be more than $200. And if you're okay with that, then you can give me a down payment today. We'll talk to my suppliers, get the price for the materials. I'll put together some kind of a mock-up. We'll talk about how detailed it needs to be, how many hours I'm estimating this work is going to take. That will give me an idea, hint, hint, spreadsheet, that will tell me exactly how much this is going to cost at the end of the day. And if you're comfortable with that price, you can pay me the remainder of it after the fact,
yeah.
And then I will start work on it.
Yeah.
I do think it's very dangerous to just say, well, I don't know how much it's going to cost, so I'll give you my business card and you can get in touch with me when you're ready. Because then
you've lost the sale.
You've lost the sale, 100%.
Yep, you've lost the sale.
I think that if you can, one, you should always get their contact information.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think we could talk a little bit about having the value of having a really good custom order form in your toolkit.
True.
To have people fill out so that you can get all of the requisite information, and then having the down payment, even if it's just, even if somebody's invested $50 in this, they've now put $50 into this, they're invested and they're going to see it through. I've seen people who have gone from being indecisive about wanting Zona to do some work to being absolutely thrilled about the prospect of what it is that they're going to have done. And oftentimes it's right after they've, you know, actually invested into it and already feel like they have ownership in the process. And you do a great job of keeping them involved in the process too.
Well, that that goes back to me and my anal retentive details.
That's not a bad thing.
I think when it comes to a custom, it's not. I mean, like my process is I'm in contact constantly with emails.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll start off with the, you know, I'll get their information at a market, and I make sure I get their name, their address, their phone number, their email, all the ways to make sure that I can get in contact with them. And, you know, we'll talk about, I'll do some sketching maybe on the back, I'll make some notes about things that they want, if whatever details it is that they want. And then, generally, the next day or the day after, I will send them an email, and I call it, like, the order confirmation email. And it'll be like a, hey, thanks for considering me for doing your piece for you. This is what we discussed. This size wood. This is what you said you wanted on it. This is your, this is the information, your contact information that you gave me, this is how much you pay. Like, I will write all of, like, I will detail everything that they said.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'll give them the final details. I'll say, well, here's a mock-up for what it is that you asked me for. And I will take a picture. And I will, like, put it on the wood. I will take a picture of, I will take a picture of the wood that I will, like, do a mock-up in paper, and I'll put it on the wood. Mm-hmm. I figured out a different way to do it through Procreate, but that's another story.
Yeah.
And so I send them the mock-up, and I say, well, this is what it will look like, minus the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Is this okay? You know, and sometimes they'll say, well, no, can we change the font? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I'll make that change, and then I'll send them another mock-up. I will send them like normally 2 or 3 times I'll send them a mock-up and they're just like, okay, yeah, that's what I want. Then I will tell them in the email, I do not burn until you respond to an email and say that you approve this mock-up. That's when I start the burn. I will not start the burn before that.
Yeah. Right?
And I tell them, once you've approved it and I've started the burn, it's set in stone. There's no changes that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've already had one. I had one person who approved the mock-up and then said, I sent them the final picture of when it was all done, and they were like, oh, can you move the word over? Because it was a picture of their home, and the home, and they were like, can you move it to the left? No. It's burned in. It's not happening. And she was just like, I was like, yeah, this is why I wanted you to tell me before I did this. But, yeah. I mean, it worked out fine in regardless, but, like, that was part of it, right? So I will continuously just send them emails, and then I've had some that were like, oh, like, how's it going, like, want like a progress picture, and I'll take a snap and I'll just send it to them.
Yeah,
you know, and I'll tell them, like, this is not complete, this is not sealed, this is not finished, but this is yeah. where we're at right now.
Yeah,
you know, so people, they're generally happy with that.
People love to be part of the process.
They do. Oh, they love to see the sneak peeks and the progress pictures. I've learned that as well.
You know, it's also a matter of, you know, I don't want to hear, oh, that's not what I was thinking.
That's not
of.
What I pictured.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right? And, like, that is a big problem. That's a danger about doing customs is that you're not meeting their expectations. You guys are not on the same page.
Well, you absolutely have to be. Like,
yes.
In my opinion, you absolutely have to be. If you're going to offer customs, you need to be able to do customs well. And that's not just the burn or the art. It's the customer service and the business mind that goes with. So, like, if you're not a detail-oriented person, maybe customs aren't the best option for you. Or if you are super hyper-vigilant about details, you know, maybe you would be great at customs, you know? But you and I both have a lot of retail customer service experience, and I think we've talked about this before, like, managing the expectations from the very beginning is the key to success, because having a disappointed customer at the end, or getting that message that's like, oh, actually, can we move that flower? Can you change? Can you make the font small? Like, no, Karen, no, I can't. It's smaller now. Like, you have, and a lot of people, I don't know. I know when I was first starting out and doing customs, I was nervous to, like, ask them, you know, like, if we were emailing back and forth or if we were on Facebook Messenger, you know, it was like, should I ask her if she wants it like this or should I just do it? And it's like, don't just do it. Always ask. Always ask. Even if you have to repeat yourself, if you are not sure, you know, and a lot of people, like, aren't Facebook or text savvy. So, like, maybe their punctuation is off, but the grammar or their punctuation can change the meaning of a sentence. So if you're not reading it right or you have questions, just ask. Like,
it's funny that you said that. I did a custom for somebody and it was a sign, and she sent to me what it was, and it did not read properly. So I remember asking her, I was like, okay, well, this is what you sent me. Is that correct? Or did you want it to say this? Like, I was grammatically correct, quote unquote. And she was like, no, that's how I want it in whatever lines, whatever. And I was like, okay, this on paper.
Yeah.
It's on paper. It's in email. That's the other thing. It's a cover your butt thing, right? Because I've asked you, is this the correct grammar? Is this the correct spelling? Is this correct as you've put it? And I'm double checking with you. And I'm waiting for you to tell me that, yes, that's correct. This is what I want it to say. So that way when they get it and the grammar's wrong, it's just like, oh, well, the grammar's wrong. But
that's,
I asked
what
you
said. Yeah.
This is exactly.
Mm-hmm. No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets.
I know.
Right. And it's like, but that's why I do it through email, especially especially all the way up until they tell me that it's approved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm adamant about getting it in the email, approved, disapproved, change this, change that, whatever. Put it in the email.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what we have. Like, I had when I did the 6-foot sign, it was the first time that she asked me, the customer asked me, she's like, well, do you have a contract? Some kind of contract. And I was like, oh, I never even thought about a contract. And I told her, honestly, it's like, I don't have one. I can make one up for you if you like, because it was a high ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but that's also partially why I do the emails, because it holds us both accountable, right? You telling me exactly what you want. I'm telling you what I understand that you want. And it's hard copy.
Email transcripts will hold up in a court of law. So,
and she was fine with it. She's like, okay, that's fine.
Okay,
as long as it was there. And you know, then I was just like, well, you've paid blah 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 blah. You know, whatever.
We zero also balance, whatever. We also have a full outline of all of our expectations around custom orders on our website.
Oh, good.
Because we do take custom orders through the website as well. And we have the entire process documented on there with both the expectations that they should have for us and the expectations we have from them. And this way, if anybody has any questions, we can point them back to that. It's in writing. It's something that we've had to refer to on several instances. And there was actually one order that we had where the customer was not happy with the final product because it wasn't the right size. I don't think the coasters were the right width. And it was for the dragon coasters that you did just earlier this year.
Oh my God, I remember the dragon coasters.
And she came back and you did an entirely separate set.
It was that. Yeah, the look on your
face. Clearly, I blocked that one.
You blocked that out. I did not. I remember that clearly.
Yes.
That sucks.
I swear to you, I thought that was going to be the first, like, real issue that I was going to have with a customer. And I was just like, well, here we go, because I'm not backing down on this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says there she asked for the coaster in this width, and you know, she wanted a thicker piece of wood. She was like, well, like this set that I had done for another customer like years ago. And I was like, sure, just go to the website. Well, first, it was a lot of back and forth with nonsense, and she was the most
she did not convey her requirements for the coasters very well.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
there yes. was I will admit to there was, I could understand where her confusion was. It was a two-way street with the confusion.
Everybody was confused.
Yeah. Her inability to respond was lacking, let's just say.
I feel that. You know, and that's, so character judgment is something that I use. I judge people, okay? I judge people so hard. So when someone comes into our booth and they're like, oh, do you do customs or whatever? If, like, I judge you so quick. And if I'm not getting a good read off of you, if you seem flaky, if you seem like maybe half-ass interested, if you seem like, if I get anything negative, I will tell you, not really, because like I don't want to have to deal with you through this entire process. But when there are people who are like, you can just feel the energy, like if it's different, if they're excited about it, if they are it, like if they offer, can I give you a down payment now, you know, like these people are serious, and that is someone that I want to work with. There are people, yes, I don't want to work with, and I can judge you immediately, and I can tell. So I don't want your money. I'm sorry, Karen. I don't do custom orders for you.
I feel you, and that's kind of sort of what I do. It's so the conversation.
Right? It is.
It's the conversation. Because you can have that conversation, and like you said, you know.
Mm-hmm. You can get a feel.
When someone's serious, right, about actually doing the custom or getting a piece versus...
they just asked,
sure,
about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm kind of sort of interested. I'm kind of sort of know what I want, but not really. Like, they're kind of wishy-washy, and it's just like, Yeah. I'm not going to even bother asking them, do you want to fill out a form? Do you want to put it down? I'm not going to even go there because just from that little conversation,
I can already get a feel for it. Right. It's not the customer that I want.
You're not ready to do a custom order. You're not, like, invested and actively looking to do a custom order right now.
Yeah. If you have a certain kind of customer that you want, only work with those kinds of customers. Find the customers that you want. And when they appear, like, yes.
I was going to ask Zona, how important is the, like, the end customer reaction to you in the customs process? Like, because it's a, I contend, I'm not Renee, so I can't speak fully for her. But I feel like if we had had more people who were just over the moon in love with everything Renee gave them at the end, we would still be doing customs more regularly. And the fact that she's had some people that are like, great, thanks, and just leave.
Oh my God, I hate that. Okay, so I was raised, my mama raised me better than that. Okay, so, and I have talked to my mom about this. Like, if you send somebody something, I expect to get some sort of feedback communication once you have received it. So, like, when I send my brothers a care package in the mail with goodies, I expect them to text me, hey, Nay, I got your package in the mail. Thank you so much. You know, I expect that because that's how I was raised. So when I send something to someone, and I used to send coffee from wherever we would travel to my grandma in Louisiana, you know, if she would call me and be like, hey, Pumpkin, I got your package today. Thank you so much for the call. Like, that's great. But if she doesn't, then it's like, okay, maybe I check the tracking. Okay, well, it says delivered. It says delivered 3 days ago. She hasn't said anything. Does she not like it? Did she forget? I take it personally, and I know I shouldn't because so many people just don't do that. They get it. They see the thing on their front porch, and they're like, oh, great, a package. Cool. But I don't get anything from it. And so it's like, did you like it? Did you even look at it? Have you even unboxed it yet? Like, I'm waiting. I am checking my DMs. I am waiting for you to say something to me because I want that reaction.
I 1000% am with you on that. Now, for very similar reasons. Like, if I send somebody, if I send a family member or a friend something, I expect a...
thank you.
Hey, yes.
A thank
absolutely.
You.
First and foremost, a thank you because that's rude AF if you don't. That's how I feel. Like that's how I was raised. If you were given anything,
you say
even
thank
if
you.
If you hate it, even if it's something you're not going to ever use, you still say thank you. Thank you. You call them, you text them, whatever the case may be, and be like, hey, I got the thing that you sent me. Thank you so much. Even if you have to kind of cover it.
Even if it's just a sweet thought. Like, I appreciate you so much. Exactly. You know?
So for me, that's manners. Like, that is a manners thing. You say thank you. Now, that's if it's family. Right, so that's a little different. When it comes to the customers, and it's funny, David, that you asked that customer, you asked me that, but that is one of the biggest reasons why I like hand delivering the pieces to people. We've shipped out pieces like that big, no, not the 6 foot sign. I met up with her, but there was a 3 foot sign that I did of the Tree of Gondor that I had to ship out because he was like 2 hours away from here.
He was in Raleigh.
Yeah, it was like
no commitment.
Oh, just for that. And so I shipped it out, but I like.
Oh, I would have driven.
I would have. I really would have. He didn't want to meet us halfway, and I didn't really. I was like, okay, 2 hours away. I feel like that's a little much. But so like I packed it. I took the pictures. I made sure. I was like panicking about them getting it because I was so worried that it was going to be damaged. Brian was just like, that's enough packing. I was like, no, it's not. It needs to be. So packaged because my other thing is like this is a one of a kind piece of wood. So now if should it be damaged, I feel like I
can't replace it.
One, I can't replace it, but it's not like I can't. Well, right, I can't replace.
It's not reproducible.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just like I feel like if it gets to you damaged, then I didn't pack it properly. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. Even though, I mean, there are other things going on with, like, shippers and whatever, but still, I feel like if there's a hole in the box because I didn't package it properly.
That's on you.
And I didn't protect it. Right. I feel like it's on me, but now I have to replace it. But how do you replace a piece of wood?
Right, you can't.
Like, just the blank. Just the blank. Yeah. Not even the pattern, but just the blank. Like, so I get very antsy about that. And Brian was, like, yelling at me. He was just like, it's enough packaging. I was like, no, it needs
no,
to be.
No, it's not.
This is how I need it to be packaged because I want it to be rock solid in this box. I don't want it sliding around. I don't want it to, like, poke through the side. I'm like, this is a really pricey piece. I don't want to be liable for that. I don't want to have to redo this and eat the cost of this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I shipped that piece out, and I know when it got delivered because I saw it, and he got up on that email that night, and he was just like, got it. It's more amazing than I thought it was going to be, and I had sent him a picture. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, here's a little sneak peek, and he was like, it was more beautiful than I thought it was going to be. The packaging was perfect, and I didn't even ask about all that, but he was just like, it was packed so well, and it came to me in perfect condition. Thank you. And I was like, thank you, guys.
Best customer ever.
Exactly. But one of the reasons that I like hand delivering, and like I'll hand it to them and they'll be like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, no, you need to look at it.
Look at it.
I will tell them, please look at it.
You're like staring at them. Like
I am. I'm like, please look at it.
Open the box.
Exactly.
Heavy breathing down their neck.
Big eyes. You know. Like, and
what's in the box?
And it's funny because I'll hand them the bag, and then I could see them, like, kind of peeking in the bag. And I'm like, please, open it, take a look at it. I wanna see if you're happy with it. Mm-hmm. Right? And
then they're like,
every time.
Oh, my God.
It's that look. It's that yes. look that they get. Whoa. Oh, that is, like.
That's the best.
I don't need to do drugs. That's my drug. That is my drug. Like that.
I don't think you would be very good on drugs, Zona.
On the flip side of that, there was not this past Christmas, the year before, a woman had come up to us at a Christmas show that we do every year in our neighborhood, and she wanted to buy a gift for her son-in-law. And her son-in-law was a fairly popular vlogger. He did I think he used to play Minecraft on YouTube, and he had a pretty big subscriber base. And he had an avatar of himself that, you know, was kind of a cartoonish version of himself. And she wanted to have that avatar hand-burned in a piece of wood, hand-painted. And Zona took a lot of time on that piece.
Yeah, I did.
And it came out fantastic. I delivered that piece, and was really hoping that when he got it, we would have at least got a shout out, something to let us know that he liked it. Never heard a word.
Nothing.
And it was such a shame.
And I mean, truthfully, the truth of it is that they don't owe us as the creators. They don't owe us.
Right. They've already paid you.
Anything. Right. They've already paid the gift receiver.
What else do you want?
Don't owe us any. They don't owe us oh my God, that's great. They don't owe us any compliments or anything.
But it's nice.
As a person, I want to know.
Right.
My people-pleasing part of me needs to know that you're happy.
Yeah,
you need that dopamine rush.
I do. I need that dopamine rush. I need to know you're pleased with it.
Yeah.
That you're happy with the way that it came out. I want to say, most of my 99% maybe of the custom orders that we've done, I've gotten such great feedback either from the person who ordered it to be gifted or the person who received it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a rare exception.
Yeah, that was a very rare exception. And it was, I was kind of hoping to like just get that little dopamine a little bit of getting a shout out. Wasn't expecting anything else out of it, but it was like kind of cool to be able to be like, I was on a YouTube to be able to say that. But it was like,
yeah, it's like,
it sucked, but I move on.
Did he even like it? You'll never know.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
I've had a bunch of people who do that.
One thing that Zona does that I think is really helpful in that regard, and this isn't just with the custom pieces, but any orders that she fulfills, she'll give a little note card, like a thank you note card, with every one of her orders, and they're handwritten. I don't know if you still do the wax seal on them.
I have not done the wax seal on them in a while. I really should get back into that because it was part of the personal touch that I put into the custom orders when I gave them. Because I would print out the card and then I just like write a little something in my own hand put it in the cart, and I used to wax seal it, and I have a seal. Someone got me, my best friend, as a, like, you know, good luck with the business, got me a wax seal of our logo.
That's cool.
So I was using that to do it. And for a while, that's what I was doing, but I haven't done it in a really long time. Probably a little over a year, because we were just getting flooded, and it was just like, it just didn't have the time. So,
yeah.
But I really should get back into that.
Yeah. Having a handwritten note, that's something that I do too with our custom orders whenever I do get them. Because it's always nice.
I've gotten the... I look forward to the little thing, and I just thank you.
Yeah.
Little smiley face.
Yeah.
It's funny, because I know you put stickers on your boxes that say Happy Mail.
Happy Mail.
And it's funny, because you put a sticker on a box that I order, of stuff that I order from you, and it was sitting, I think, on the porch, and the sticker was facing out, and we were driving up to the house. We were about to park, and Brian goes, "Oh, look. It's Renee Mail." And I was like, "How do you know that?"
He goes, "The pink sticker." I put that pink sticker on everyone's package.
Exactly. And it's like, those are the little things that become your brand.
Yeah.
Right? That become part of your brand as a small business owner.
I love that our shipping brand is like, here's this used Ritz box that we taped back together, and also I put a sticker on it.
Okay, so like, we shop at Costco for a lot of our stuff. And some of those boxes that things come in bulk are good boxes. And so I keep them. So we had a box of Ritz. And the Ritz box is, it's the same as the Rice Krispies box. Like, it is a thick box. So I kept that bad boy, and I shipped someone's order in it. And I don't remember who it was, but I know that I messaged them and was like, "Hey, just letting you know, you're going to love your package." Like, I do that whenever I have like funky packages or whatever, or if it just looks stupid or whatever. I text them and I'm like, You're going to know your package when it shows up, LOL. And everyone's always okay with it. Like, nobody's ever been like, "Wow, that's so unprofessional." You know, like, everyone's always like, "Yes, I can't wait to see it. It looks so stupid."
But that's also part of your brand, because you've always said, you know, I recycle.
It's always...
Our whole brand, part of your brand is recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So that just like fits right
in. It does.
Do you know how many times I've gotten boxes and I've said, "How much would it cost to ship this to Renee so she could use it?" Like,
amazing.
I've gotten like boxes and stuff and said, "This would be perfect for Renee."
for this. You know, you could collect boxes and then play Tetris and put the boxes inside the boxes, or flatten the boxes so you could ship multiple boxes to me within one box.
Don't give me ideas.
But then that's like a business expense.
I have a question for you.
Yeah,
Renee.
Go ahead.
How do you feel about branding on custom pieces? Do you brand your pieces?
Okay, so I don't have a brand. I will put my signature on the back of... Well, okay, I guess that's not always true. If it's like a piece of art, I will sign it and put... I put my location, so I put New Cumberland, PA, and the year 2024 on it. I like to think that someday when I die, people will collect my art. You know, this is just my DeLulu. When people do research on dead people, they want to know where they were from, right? So if I put like Renee Foskett Wilson, New Cumberland, PA, like, oh, this is a Renee piece. Like, this is a New Cumberland piece. Anyway, so I put that on the back of the art. But like, I just did some bud vases for David's uncle because he's going to gift them for Christmas. And so on the bottom of the bud vases, I put my initials, RFW24. And then on like cutting boards and stuff, I haven't done any in a while, but I don't do anything on the cutting boards. But usually they're so generic that I don't really care if my name is associated with it or not, because it's not really anything special. Like, I don't feel like I'm missing out if I don't claim that piece as mine. So if no one knows that it's me, it's fine. But there have been some custom orders that I've gotten that I intentionally did not sign because I do not want my name associated with it. I took the order because it was good money and you were willing to pay for it, but I absolutely hated it and I am embarrassed by it because, like we were talking about earlier, like, you wanted the grammar this way, I would not have done that. You picked this font, I would not have picked that. Like, this looks terrible, but you have approved it and don't want me to change it at all. So I will burn it for you, but I hate it. And I never want anyone to associate this with me ever again. So no, I have not put my name on it. Yeah, I know you guys have like an actual brand, like a heat iron brand. Yeah.
Yes. We do have a brand. What I've started doing, especially on the bigger pieces, on the back, I have used the actual iron brand, and then I put the name of the piece.
Okay, cool.
Like, for instance, the beacon, mm-hmm. right? And then I put what it's on, so it's red cedar.
Okay.
And then I'll sign my name, Zona. 7/2024. With the beacon, I put my brand and my information, and then because it's a it was a collaboration piece, I actually also put Crowley's
her info
because they have a little logo too.
Okay,
so I burned their little logo on there, and I put, you know, her and Fractal, the Fractal work done by Jessica. So I have been doing that on the back, but I've been thinking about whether I want to actually sign the front, because I know like a lot of people sign the front.
I know.
And I how do I feel about it? Like, I don't know how I feel about that person. Like, it's like, am I being obnoxious by putting my name on the front?
No. I saw something the other day. I don't know if it was an article or I scrolled past it or something, but it was like, you should always sign the front of your artwork. And I remember I clicked it. It must have been a post or something, but it was like, If and when you are dead and people see your art, if they are collecting, they need to be able to know that it's you just by looking at it. Like, if it's in if it's in a gallery, if it's at an antique like flea market, you know, if people are just walking by and they don't know that it's you, they don't know that it's you, and they're not going to pick it up to look on the back. So you need to have your name on the front. But yeah, no, they should know that it's your work just by looking at it immediately. Uh-huh. So that's something that I've thought about too, but I haven't done it.
I guess that is like, is that obnoxious of me to put my name? Is it like forward?
No, I don't think it's forward. I don't think it's obnoxious. I think we are putting too much emotional thought into it. Like, just sign it and be done with it and don't think twice about it.
I think you should sign art, not product. So if you made
But I think branding the product makes sense, because I do feel like you want people to be able to find your business. If they're at somebody's house and you've got a set of coasters that you burned for them, and they want to get that set of coasters, well, or something similar, you want them to be able to find you. Mm-hmm. And if it's not branding, if there's no branding on it, there's a good chance that the person who bought it from you is just going to say, oh, yeah, I got it from these people I met at a market. I don't remember what their name was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I got their business card somewhere, but who knows if they're going to find it or not. So I think it is important to have some way of people being able to trace your product back to you so that they can order more.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine. I just think if it's like, if somebody's like, I just want a bunch of chicken coasters, those don't necessarily need to be signed, because that's not like a one-off piece of art. But like,
see, I wouldn't sign them, but if I had a branding iron, I would probably brand them. So, like, Zona has a brand that she could put BZ Furfur, but it's not, like, Zona Greg, the artist.
Yeah. But if it's going to hang on a wall and the entire thing is that it is an art piece, I think your signature needs to go on it because you're the artist.
So what I'm hearing is that I should brand Magnolia. Gotcha. I should sign Magnolia.
You should sign the front of Magnolia.
You should.
I am definitely going to sign the front of Magnolia. Magnolia is, like...
She's beautiful.
I'm very picky about the stuff that I've done. Like, as artists, we look at stuff and we see all the mistakes, right? We see all the things that we wish were different, that we would have done different, whatever, whatever. But there are a few that I've looked at and said, nope, this is, like, these were time that I put into it. This is effort that I put into it. And I love this piece. Like, there are a few pieces that I've done that that I feel that way. And Magnolia is turning out to be that. Like, I worked on Magnolia for pretty much the entire time at the market on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Just because. And, oh, man. I'm looking forward to her being done just to see what she looks like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just to see the end product. It's gonna be, I'm already proud of it, just it's just going to look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed.
She is going to look amazing. So.
But yes, I think I will sneak my name in somewhere there along one of the branches.
You should. Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to work it in.
I have a question for you, Renee.
Yep.
So one of the advantages of doing custom work is you are given very clear instructions on what it is that you need to do, or sometimes vague, but you're given some direction on what to do. And it could be really beneficial in those situations where you have artist block, where you're not entirely sure what it is the next thing that you're going to be working on. And it's really helpful to have somebody giving you ideas. And maybe those ideas will spark other ideas for you to work on.
That's true.
If you're not doing custom work, how do you approach that artist block?
So that's a great question. That's such a good question. So lately, like within this summer, I started a sketchbook practice, and I have been very intentional about trying new things. So I always have like my favorite muses, beetles, flowers, bugs, birds, butterflies, you know, I have my nature things that I always do, but there has been a lot of experimentation lately where it's like, okay, I want to do a beetle, but I'm going to do it different this time just to see how it comes out. I'm going to do another coneflower this time, but I'm going to do this with gouache instead of my watercolors just so I can play more with gouache. Like, I have been very intentional about just trying new things, and that has been a good like artist block mechanism for me. Because I definitely do get artist's block, and sometimes it's not always the same. I have different kinds of artist's block. Sometimes the artist block is burnout, and when that happens, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to do anything ever. But if it's more of just like, man, I'm feeling artsy, I want to do something, but I don't know what, it's like, okay, well, let's like stick with something that I know, so a coneflower, but let's do it differently. Like, let's just play with the style this time. So that's kind of been my thing lately. And then with sketching, like, I have been trying to really limit my phone usage at night and not doom scroll and not be on socials and stuff. For your sleep hygiene, you know, no phone 30 minutes before bed and have a set bedtime every day and, you know, whatever. I'm not very good at that. But instead of being on my phone, I have been trying to sketch. So I've been doodling. I have a big draft board. I have big giant paper. And I sit in bed with my color pencils and I'm just sketching things. I'm drawing things. And then there is a Skillshare class that is like 5 hours. It's like part one of a drawing academy thing. Like, it's a really big in-depth how to draw. And I've been going through that. And that has been really interesting. Like, I know how to draw some things, but I didn't go to art school. I was never taught how to draw. So just starting basics, you know, this is how you can loosely draw lines. This is how you can look at an object and break it down into its shapes. Things like that, those kinds of activities, I've just been doing those on repeat every night. So I have giant pieces of paper full of circles and ovals. And the beauty with doing that on my giant paper is, like, when you draw with, you know, you're just on a little piece of paper, and you're drawing very little. But when you're drawing big, you're using your whole arm to like draw or sketch or whatever. And that has been a really big game changer for me too. So now it's like, okay, I'm not just drawing my little flowers on my little paper. I'm drawing big flowers on my big paper. And it's just a totally different experience in creating. So that has been part of it too. And all of that together kind of helps me navigate like what to do next, what catches my attention, what did I really like. But there's also been a little bit of like, I don't want to say failure, but kind of like some fails where like I really did not like how that came out, but at least I played with it and at least it was interesting, but I don't ever need to do that again. Things like that.
But isn't that part of that specifically is part of us growing as artists?
Correct.
Right? Because, you know, we know what we know. We know what we've done and we know what we've done well. But then how do you learn something?
You never know unless you just try it.
It's the play. It's part of the play.
Correct. You can't make art until you explore the art and play with the art and try the art and discover. Like, it's just a never-ending cycle for me of playing and discovering and then arting and then playing and discovering and arting.
I mean, how do you know that you're good at a particular thing unless you try it,
right?
Like, I didn't think I was good at watercolor-ish type stuff until I actually played with it once. I was like, oh, I'm actually kind of good at this.
If I could just offer from the outside looking in at Renee's art process, customs are actually a net negative on Renee's, like, art process, because nine times out of 10, they're like, something she doesn't really want to do, but she's just doing it for the money. Whatever muse she may have gotten from trying that, the like burnout factor is so much higher because she's having to treat art as work instead of a joyful process. I have to twist her arm to move customs sometimes.
He does.
It's like selling out, right? It's the equivalent of a musician selling out.
Sure.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I think you're in trouble, Brian.
I don't see it as selling.
There's nothing wrong with selling out.
I don't know. I guess most of the customers that I've been blessed to work with are, like, they'll come in and let's say they see Dad's grill and they're like, ooh, can you put their name on it?
Bob's grill.
Exactly. That's like easy peasy lemon squeezy. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, I already know how much that's going to cost and how much that's going to take.
Yeah.
Done deal. I know this is your price. Done. So there's that. But then there's some that are just kind of like, they have a semi-solid idea of what they want the custom order to be and how they want it to look. So I'll sit there and I'll ponder and I'll be like, well, let me come up with a mock-up. Let me think about this a little bit and then get back to you with an idea, and then you tell me. The customers that I've been lucky enough to deal with mostly are receptive to my part of the creative process, right? Mm-hmm. Where I've been able to say, well, there's this, which is what you were talking about, but how about this, because the composition's better, they're like, you know, you want these colors, so this would match those colors better, or you started with this, and I know you said you wanted these colors, but what about this, because it would look better because of this, right? So they've been relatively receptive to my creative process, mm-hmm. part of it, so I don't feel restricted. Mm-hmm. But there has been one or two that I've been like, oh my god, I hate this project and yep. I don't want to do it. God almighty, I just want this to be done.
Yeah.
But well, then no.
Yeah.
Part of it too is how you frame it when you pitch the custom order to the customer. And I think it's really important that when you pitch, you're doing so such that they understand that they're hiring an artist.
Right.
They're not hiring
a manufacturer.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll go with manufacturer.
Yeah.
You're hiring somebody who is their job is to create beautiful things. And I'll say this to people, when you hire us to do a custom piece, we're going to have a conversation with you. We're going to talk to you about what it is that you're looking for. Maybe we'll take a look at the room that you're going to be hanging it in so that we can understand the color scheme of that room. We'll ask you questions about what it is that you want to create. Maybe you can give us some reference photos. But at the end of the day, she's going to create something for you that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have some amount of trust in this person that you're hiring to be able to create something that utilizes her skills. And yes, sometimes there's some pushback and somebody says, I want this god-awful font in this asinine color on this ugly piece of wood.
This ugly-ass piece of wood.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to eat crow and do it, because if you don't, they're just going to pull out. And fine, you know, that's something that we all have to accept in our daily life, that we can't always get to choose everything that we want to do. But for the most part, people are respectful of that.
That's so
people
good.
Understand. people understand that they're hiring an artist. They're hiring somebody who has a unique skill set and who has an eye for these things, who's going to be able to create something beautiful based on their own vision. And I for the most part, we've had luck with that.
See, that's great, because I absolutely have not. So I'm looking back at our notes and like at the very beginning, why I don't like doing customs. This is such a huge part of it. It's because most of the people who want me to do a custom already have something in mind, and they just want me to execute it for them. But it's not necessarily art. It's like, hey, can you make this sign? Can you, like, your dad's grill, can you do Bob's grill? Like, yeah, I can, but like, that's just me producing something. That's not me creating something. Like, I can duplicate this, but this does not fulfill me. I don't want to do Bob's grill and then Rupert's grill and then David's grill. Like, I don't want to do grills for every man in your family. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, it's good money, but I don't want that. Like, that'll burn me out so fast. But, you know, sometimes you have to make that call. Do you need the money? Do you want to do it? You know, do you have the ability to do what needs to be done, even if you don't want to do it? That's a whole nother thing. But rarely do people say, I really want a beautiful piece that looks like water and has sparklies in it. Like, I'm willing to pay $500 for something like this. Do what you need to do. Like, that would be so cool. If you were to, quote, hire me as an artist instead of just hiring me as the middleman from your idea to the end product. I hate being the manufacturer.
I need some kind of direction from the person who wants something, a custom order. But I also want the freedom to put in my artistic flair or opinion into it. I don't want to do simply what they want me to do. Mm-hmm. Like you said, and just be a producer.
Yeah.
But I have had one person who was just like, well, I don't really know what I want, person. I don't necessarily have anything in mind. You know, and it was kind of like, you figure it out. Like, you just come up with something.
See, but with I'm like, no, because whatever I come up with might not be your taste. Like, exactly. I need a little bit of direction there.
Exactly. And see, and that's the other, that's like, it swings on the other side of my anxiety now, because I'm just like, Well, you're telling me you want this piece to be a memorial piece, and you want it to be simple, but kind of nice, but kind of, you know, artistic, but not too artistic. And it's just like,
in my head, I'm
like, what does that mean?
Right. What does that mean to you?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then it's just kind of like, well, what do you think about this? I don't really know what I want. Just something. And I'm like, I need you.
Yeah.
To give me some kind of direction about what, in the millions of tentacles that are around,
right,
which one are you falling on, so I can sort of, you know, I can veer towards that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to make something bright and sunny and you're thinking doom and gloom, you know?
Yeah.
I need some kind of direction.
This is very true. I think having, so with that, that can be a lot of back and forth emails. This can be days. If you don't have someone who's a fast responder, this could be weeks of going back and forth with this person.
Months.
Right. Like, do you like this? And then it takes 3 weeks to get back. Do you like this? And then it takes, like, so having, you need to know, if you're going to do customs and you want to do customs, you need to have some questions ready to go. If your person is like, I'm not sure what I want, then, you know, okay, well, do you want said piece to be horizontal or landscape? Do you want a big piece of wood this shape, or do you want a smaller piece of wood this shape? Because, like, then you can at least start getting some of these basic things down, and then their cogs start thinking. And let's say, okay, they want a dog. They want a memorial piece of their dog. Okay, well, do you want a side profile, or do you want the dog looking directly at you? You know, do you want a goofy photo of your dog, like, with their tongue out, with a ball half hanging out of their mouth, or like, do you want more of their, like, serious face? You know, there are questions that you can kind of put together ahead of time, so you have a rapid fire list of details to go ahead and knock out of the way.
another thing you can do is you can show them some of your past work.
Correct.
And say, here are some things that I've done before. Can you take a look at these and tell me if anything resonates with
yes.
you? Yes. And there's a good chance that they'll find something and say, oh, I really like this piece of wood, or I really like the style that you used here, or I like the color scheme that you mm-hmm. used here, or this font is what I'm looking for. Or sometimes they'll just see something and it will inspire them to have some sort of an idea. They'll have mm-hmm. like an epiphany. Oh, this is exactly what I want. Can you do this? But instead of this, can you do this?
Sure.
And then you now have an idea.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. that's why we keep like a portfolio of all of the work that she's done in the past, all of her custom mm-hmm. work online that we can
we
show
do
people
too.
To.
Or just some, exactly. We have a customs gallery.
Would you say that was mm-hmm. a do?
I would say that's a do. If you want to do customs and get into it, then yes. do it. And if you don't have a website or you're not savvy to do something online, literally go to CVS and print out the pictures and yes. put them in a photo album and bring it with you so people can physically flip through your book. It's like going up to the cake counter at Walmart at the bakery and flipping through the kid's book of cake ideas. You know, didn't you ever do that as a kid? You know what I'm talking about?
I've done it as an adult.
The bakeries have yeah, like a cake book of things that yes. they can do that you can order from, and it gives you ideas. Put it together.
I absolutely agree. I think it's definitely a do, and I think even having both, if you can, like you have the physical book on hand for somebody to flip through, and something digitally online, because it all depends on where they're finding you, right?
True.
Or like you might have someone who's just like, I don't really have time to talk, but I saw you as I was walking by, and let me get your business card, and I will definitely get back to
yes.
you. And then there's some people who literally, legitimately do.
Yeah, yeah.
They email on the spot. I had one person who emailed me on the spot. I'm emailing you right now my information because I want this piece.
That's great.
I know you don't have a price for me and this, that, and the other, but this is, I want this. So now they've reached out like off the bat and they're like, well, do you have a portfolio online? Maybe they don't want to stand there and look at the book or whatever the case may be. They want to sit at home and
look,
ponder.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think having both is a definite do. And I think absolutely, like you said, having a flip book.
A flip book is a great idea. I don't yes, have a physical flip book because I don't want to promote my customs that way. But
well, that's true.
But if you do, prepare yourself. Make it a business expense. Go to CVS, print out 25 mm-hmm. pictures, and like put it together. Or like even get a folder, you know, from like school. You have your red math folder and your blue reading mm-hmm. folder. Like get a folder, put some page protectors in it, and put your info inside of it so you can physically like hand it to someone.
A binder with sheets, and you
correct.
Just
yeah.
Most people though would just. From my experience, that they're happy to go on Instagram and look at
mm-hmm.
your stuff.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of people just
you know
yeah.
you just we have a QR code and people can scan it. It takes them to our socials. We are diligent with posting her custom pieces on Instagram so that people can look through them. They can get a good idea of what her art style is. They can see some of the stuff that's not on display, and it works well.
Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of the do's, don'ts, and
Definitely don't.
So I think one thing that I would say is a do is in the very beginning we talked about finding time when you're doing custom work, finding time to do stuff that you still want to do, finding time to express yourself as an artist. I think it's really important that if you're doing a lot of custom work, that you sometimes treat your own work like a custom order. Mm. So for instance, when Zona was working on Felicity's box, she treated that as a custom order for herself. Yeah. And yes, that wasn't one that was going to go up for sale, but it was something that she wanted done, and she prioritized it along with all of the other work that she was doing. The same thing with the Magnolia and Sakura and all the other pieces that you've done recently, even though you have custom work to be done, you will still make time to work on those and not just building up a backlog of all of these things. Treat the stuff that you want to do like a custom order and prioritize.
Put it on your schedule.
You also need to make sure that you're being realistic when you're quoting people time for their custom work. So take that into consideration. Yeah. If you're saying that, well, I can get something done in 2 weeks, right? But you know that you have two custom orders and you know that you have a piece that you're working on for yourself that's going to take up at least 40 hours of time, then maybe you should tell them that it's going to take 3 weeks to get that done. Yeah. So you don't have to keep bumping out the things that you want to work on, that you want to put up for sale, that you want to use as a way to express yourself. You don't have to keep punting those out for, you know, Bob, Billy, Ralph, and Joe's grill.
True. Well, that's such a good idea. I love that.
I think it's also about managing their expectations. Like, I had one customer on Sunday, this past Sunday, who saw a piece and was interested in getting a custom done, but she needed it for like a week. And I was like, that's not gonna happen. Nope. She was like, well, what's your timeline? I was like, depending on what it is, it's probably about 2 weeks. And she goes, oh, well, that's, you know, that's not my timeline. I need it next week. I was like,
nope.
There's unfortunately, there's no way that I could get it done for you.
Yeah.
And I was just honest. And I was like, did I possibly lose like a $50-$100 sale? Yeah. But I know what the other side of that is. The other side is if I said I could do it, it's going to be a lot of late nights and it's going to be a lot of stress. And then I'm going to be sitting here thinking about the things that I need to make for markets, big markets that are coming
right.
up. You know, the stuff that I'm trying to bank for future markets for when if I have customs, like I have this list of customs that need to be done. But I'm also thinking, oh, shoot, I've got to make product for
right.
the, you know, for the markets that are coming.
Yeah.
I don't have that. So how do I balance that? At least if I have the stuff already made. If I get banked with customs, it's like, well, okay, well, I mean, I was going to make that piece for this, but it's not a big deal if I don't, because I know at least we have product anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, managing their expectations, that's a definite
do.
Be absolutely honest with yourself and with the customer about your timeline.
Always.
Right? And like, absolutely. Like, I mean, I think not doing that is... it's a disrespect to your customer because word of mouth travels far.
Yes, right? It does. Good and bad.
Good and bad. And like if you fail on your timeline because you didn't time it out properly or, you know, you're just not making it a priority and then you have to keep telling the customer, I'm going to need another week. I'm going to need another week.
That's a terrible look.
It is. It's an absolute terrible look. Now the people are going to look at you and be like, oh, well, they do nice work, but they're atrocious to work with.
Yeah. Or she's flaky or like
exactly.
she doesn't.
And that, that in itself can lose you future sales.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Because somebody might be like, oh, they do beautiful work, but I don't want to have to deal with them because.
Mm-hmm.
So
we promised the people the do's, the don'ts, and the definitely don'ts, and we're coming up on time.
All
so
right.
Do we want to do some rapid fire do's, don'ts, and definitely don'ts,
yes.
things that we didn't capture?
Sure.
So David and Renee, do you want to start off with some of
do's.
Each of the aforementioned
Let's start with
things?
The do's. What is it, what are your top three do's?
Ooh, top three do's. I think you need to do a little bit of soul work, personal work ahead of time so you know yourself. Like, are you content doing custom? You just need to look, you just need to reflect. You know, are you okay doing customs? Are you okay, like, how much of your business is customs going to consume? Is it going to burn you out? What is your maximum? You know, what does your schedule look like? Are you a mom? Are you working? Are you like, whatever, how busy are you? Like, is this going to take away from the rest of your life? Is this going to put the rest of your family, is this going to stress everybody else in the house out? You know, if you decide you're going to do customs for Christmas, is that going to ruin your Christmas? Like, if you're so busy doing all this stuff for all these other people, is it going to ruin your own holiday season? Are you still going to put your family first? You know, like, these are just important things to think about, because customs, depending on how you're going to do it, can be a really big deal. So I think you need to really just kind of reflect and set some standards and some boundaries for yourself. Even if it's like, okay, I will just take 2 custom orders for Christmas, or if this is like, hell nah, I need to make 10 grand for Christmas this year and it's all going to be customs, you know, like, okay, well, how are you going to do that? Like, and what is that going to require of you? So that's a big do. I really like the idea of putting together a physical portfolio. Even though I've already said I don't have one, but that's because I don't promote my customs and I don't want to promote my customs. I have the online, so if anyone does ask and I am feeling generous enough to take that custom, then I can say I have an online gallery. You can go look at that if you'd like, but you know, my customs are so few and far between. I just don't promote them. I don't talk about them. I don't want them. Don't come at me for custom work, because I don't want it. and then let's see, another do. Taking payment up front in some way, shape, or form has to happen. If you're not comfortable taking the full amount because you feel like you can't give them an accurate quote, you know, then what is the minimum? If you know that this piece, like, oh man, you want that? Well, I know that's going to be at least $200. Then take a $100 deposit. You know, get something for it. Just because you don't know the final price, or the final price depends on how long it takes, and I don't know how long it's going to take, so I'll send you a final invoice. Don't wait to collect all that money at the end. Get something, at least something, at the beginning. But you will have some people who are like, can I just pay you for it now? And that's great. You know, like, I had this one lady one time, she and her best friend are like avid kayakers, and she wanted me to make 2 kayak ornaments on like these long skinny sycamore slices that I had. And I said they're going to be $20 each, and she's like, can I just pay for them now? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I was just going to ask for like 20, you know, but she was like, yeah, no, that's fine. And, you know, just text me whenever they're done and we can meet up to get them. And I was like, okay. So like there are going to be people who hem and haw about it, especially if it's a big custom order. If it's a $500 piece, like if you're asking for 50%, that's $250, you know, and you're going to have people who are like, ooh, you know, and if they're just not sure about it, then maybe that's a little bit of a red flag.
They're not my customer.
They're not your customer. I know. Like, do you?
If that cost you the sale, then it probably wasn't worth it.
Then it wasn't worth it. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. Get some money from it.
I feel like in that particular situation, like if they're hemming and hawing about wanting to put a down payment.
Right. Are you going to get paid for the rest of it?
Exactly. To me, that's a red flag that it's going to be a problem getting the rest of the money from you. And I'll be damned if I'm going to do $500, a $500 order.
Yep. And not get paid for it.
Only get paid $250 for it. And now it's something so custom that I can't even sell.
That's true. If it's like a huge custom. Yep.
Exactly. If it's something really specific, like with a name or whatever, how do I sell that? I can't sell that. Mm-mm. Like, there might be a few things that are custom, so to speak, but I could still sell that. Like, for instance, the Tree of Gondor. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't personalized, right? So, like, if he had backed out of that sale, I could have just
sold it
to someone else.
Sure.
I could still sell that. But it's still, you know, it's still a price point. It's still...
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, but if they're hemming and hawing about not wanting to put at least a down payment.
Probably a red flag.
Then I probably don't even want to do this, because I don't want to have to now chase you down for the rest of the month.
Right.
I just don't want to do it. But that's why I'm like, one of my dues is you have to pay for the custom order 100% in full. Minus shipping usually. Mm. Because I do that last a lot of the time. Because I have to actually put it in a box and wait.
Right.
So I'll be like, well, I will tell them in that confirmation email, it has to be paid in full before I even do the work,
mm-hmm.
before I start burning.
Yeah.
That is a must for me. And if they don't, then I'm not doing it. Then I won't start the burn until it's definite.
Will you
until they pay for it?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we actually when if it's on site, then we'll have them pay through Square. But even if it comes in through the website, a custom order comes in through the website, we will create a product for them on the website that they can purchase. This way, we
have a record
get
of
that
it.
Money from them. Yeah, we get record of it, and it's in our POS. It ties back into our accounting. It's not just a cash transaction or, I'll send you a check or something like that. Yeah. No, we have a very clear, definitive way of collecting money. And if they don't purchase the item that we created for them, then we don't start work on it.
Yep.
And if they have questions, then, you know, then we have something to come back to.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, any other dues?
Yeah, Zona? What are your dues?
I think my first due is the custom order form.
Mm.
Because it has the, because I think it's like you said, have your questions ready to go. Mm-hmm. What is it that you need to create this custom order, to determine how much it's going to be, to decide whether you can actually do it, right? Or like timelines and time frames or whatever. On my custom order, I have like certain questions that have to be filled out. Because then it'll trigger the question, like it'll be like I have like price, okay, well what personalization no personalization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'll make the notes on that piece of paper and the form has to be filled out.
Yeah,
right, not necessarily always 100%, but at least notes and the questions have to be answered, size, what it is, color, whatever the case may be, it's on that form. So I think having, well, not even necessarily just the custom order form, but like having those questions hammered down.
Yeah.
When you're talking, even just talking about the custom order, I think that's a definite do. You need to have the information. You have to have their contact information.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure you have that right contact information. Like when they fill it out, they put down their name, they put down their address, and they put down their phone number or their email. And I will look at it and I will tell them, okay, well, this is what I read, right? This is what it says, correct? And they'll say yes. And like I've had some, and 99% of the time I'm reading it correctly. And I've had a rare occasion where they're like, oh no, that's not what that said. That's not that letter. It's a different letter. And I could swear it looked like the other letter. So I always double check with them. Their contact information at the very, very least. So that would be my first, like, have the information. Their contact information on the product. I guess the other would be honest about timelines.
Yeah.
Be honest. Manage their expectations. Manage expectations. Your expectations for the product, their expectations for receiving and for the product also. Mm-hmm. Like, be clear, be transparent about how long it's going to take you and how much it's going to cost and what are they expecting. Like, be as clear and as upfront and repeat if you have to make sure that you guys are both on the same page. Because there's nothing worse than not being on the same page, thinking that, you know, like, they have this thing in mind and then you have this thing in mind and they're not even the same
thing.
And
it's that
just
is
like,
the worst.
It's just, it's a complete shit.
It is.
And so I think that would be my top three in terms of a customer order.
Yep.
How about don'ts?
Don'ts.
Do you want to start with don'ts, Zona?
Number one, don't. Don't complete the work before you've got payment in full.
Yep.
That is the first.
Don't set unrealistic expectations on what you are capable of doing.
Yes.
So we are very clear from the beginning that we don't do photorealistic pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's asking for a photorealistic piece, we are very honest with them about what her comfort level is with that and how much detail she's willing to do on something if they want a pet portrait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, hey, you want a pet portrait? If you're willing to do something that's very, you know, there's certain criteria that you may do a pet portrait, but not if it's something that's super detailed that you don't feel comfortable with. So just be honest with people and make sure that they understand what your capabilities are, mm-hmm. what your limits are. And hey, bonus, do keep a list of other artists handy so that
yes.
if somebody wants something that you yes. can't do, you could be like, I can't do that, but you know who could? This person. Why don't you reach out to
them? I've done that before. I've had a few people reach out about dog portraits, and I always say, I don't do them, but here are some artists that do, and I've had this conversation in Facebook Messenger, so I've sent them links to other artists' websites, and then I've had this conversation on Instagram through DM, so I will just share profiles. And so, like, for dog portraits, I have sent them Andrena at Rainamore, because she does pet portraits, but it's a very interesting style. And I will say, this artist, she's a great friend. I love her. She has great work. Check out her dogs here. But then I've also sent people Megan at Happy Camper, because she does like the watercolors and the very bright colors. And
she's got a very cool style.
It's so good, but it's totally different than Andrena's. So I'll be like, and then here's another pet portrait artist, and her stuff is bright and colorful and happy. And then here's another person. You know, like, I have a list, and they're all different styles, so people can, like, think about it, and, like, then they can go contact those other people if they want, but
exactly.
it's no longer my problem. And at least,
I mean,
like, I've helped them.
One more don't.
Yeah, oh yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I know that I've lost sales by telling people I don't do that. Well, can you? No, I won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yep, I won't do that. Well, what if? Nope, I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I tell them honestly, you know, like, I won't do a pet portrait because I know as a pet parent that I want this picture to look a certain way.
Yep.
I know what feeling I want. And I personally cannot deliver that yet. Like, I'm not up to that part that makes me happy, that I'm proud, that I have the confidence to sell
mm-hmm.
that. So I won't
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? And they're just like, but you could try. And I'm like, no. I appreciate that your confidence in me, but I'm not comfortable doing it, so I won't
yeah.
do it. So I've probably lost sales, and I'm like, that's okay.
That's okay.
Because I would rather lose a sale that never was meant to be
mm-hmm.
than have made the sale and then have a
disappointed customer.
Because that's worse.
Yeah.
That is way worse.
Any other don'ts?
I have one.
Okay.
Don't assume. Like, if you have a question about something, or you are unsure about something, just ask. It is so much better for you to ask than to assume. But it also goes the other way. Don't assume that the customer knows. Like, don't assume that they know what they want or they know what they're talking about. Like, they might say this, that, and the other about, oh, I want it like this or whatever. But, like, do you actually know? Like, that, just, okay, for an example, if they could choose between this piece of wood and this piece of wood, but this one's more expensive, don't assume that they know that that one is more expensive. Like, tell them, okay, well, if you want that on this piece of wood costs more. Because if they end up picking that wood, but you never told them it costs more. I think we had this conversation the other day. Something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that piece of wood is going to cost more. Like, don't assume that they know that. And that it's just common sense to them, because it's common sense to me. I do this every day. I look at it every day, but they don't know. So that's one. Don't assume.
I also feel like that falls in the, not just your brand, your reputation.
Mm.
I think that falls in reputation, right? Because it's like, I am going to be honest with you about price differences, because I mean, you choose the more expensive wood, I'm clearly going to up the price. I don't want it to ever be a shock to you.
Right.
Right? Like, because now that just, if the customer is shocked, oh, I didn't know that that was going to be more money. I didn't know it was going to up the price on it, right? But now the work is done, so now they feel obligated
to pay
that
for
extra
it.
Money.
But they weren't planning
they
on it.
Been, right, they weren't planning on it. They weren't expecting it. And, you know, and it makes you feel like, it'll make them feel like they've been gamed.
Yes.
Right? They've been bamboozled by you.
And heckin' bamboozled. Like,
I had to use that word. You know what I mean? And it's not a good look.
And it's not a good feeling.
it's not, you know, and it's just like, it's just not a good look, because now that person's going to be like, oh, well, you know, I ordered something from them and she said it was going to be $60, but then I had it done and then she told me that it was going to be an extra $20 and she didn't tell me.
Right.
But she already did it. So I had to pay the extra, which made it $80. And that's not what I wanted to spend on it. Yep. Or, you know, I wish she would have told me that it was going to be that much, so that way at least I would have been prepared. Right. You know, like, that's not a conversation you want them to be having with somebody else. Because now that person that they're speaking to is going to be like, ooh, I was going to order something, but now I'm afraid that they're going to do that to me. Yeah. They're shady. They're whatever. And it's just not a good business look. So.
Okay, I think we have time for one more don't.
What about any absolutely the hell do not do's? Oh.
I don't know. This is an absolutely don't. You have to live your own life, I guess. But I just see a lot of people doing customs when they're starting out. And if it's something you're starting out, like, absolutely don't budge on your prices. Like, they're paying for a one-of-a-kind piece of art that you can't sell to somebody else. And so, like, I don't know. If they're hemming and hawing about the price before they pay for it, then be like...
Thank you, Max.
It's probably not worth your trouble, because those people are three times the headache for, you know, the same price.
Right. And you will get people who will be like, oh, but I saw this one girl. Let me send you a picture. She did it for 40. Can you do it for 40? And don't be like, well, yeah, I guess I probably could. Like, absolutely not. If you set your price at 65, don't let them be like, oh, but this girl on Etsy can do it for 40, so I'm just going to go to her if you can't do it for 40. It's like, fine, then go to her. Go to her.
Cool story, bro.
Go to her. I'm not doing it. Like, just because you found someone else who can do it cheaper doesn't mean that I'm going to match your price. This isn't Walmart. This isn't Hobby Lobby. I'm not matching your price. Like, no competitors. Right.
I have one definitely don't.
Okay.
And that is, definitely don't sell yourself short.
Ding, ding.
You are a better artist than you give yourself credit for. You are a better artist than you have constructed in your head. And there's a reason why you're doing this. There's a reason why you get up on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m. to go lug a tent and a bunch of boxes of heavy wood out to the middle of a field and stand in the sweltering heat and in the freezing cold and in the pouring rain, trying to get people to come into your booth to buy all of the things that you made. And it's because you are a good artist. Yeah. And you are probably a great artist. Otherwise, you would have given up on this a long time ago. And just because you had a bad market the last week or the last couple of weeks or the last couple of months, it is not a reflection on who you are as an artist. It is a reflection on economy is, or who happened to turn up at that market, or how many laser cut artists there were that were selling product because it was cheaper. But there is a market for what you do. There are people who love what you do, and when you get your work in front of them, they're going to love it as much, if not more, than you do. So absolutely, without doubt, do not sell yourself short.
Amen.
Okay. So real quick, I was wondering, do you guys have anything that you want to plug?
If you're listening to this podcast and you know who It's David and Renee are, but you don't buy our wood from the Timber Doodle because it's too much of a commitment, but you've always thought, boy howdy, I would sure love to try some of their wood. We've recently opened up a lot of back inventory to the public, so get over to our website and check that out, because it's filling my basement. Help, I'm getting crushed.
Do it.
Help, we have too much inventory.
Go to the website.
Yeah, it's not Timber Doodles only anymore. And I know that that's been the norm for like the last 2 years. So we have to break the expectation that like, oh, they're exclusive. They're just Timber Doodle. Like, no, anyone can buy from us now. Hot damn. It's your lucky day. But Timber Doodlers do still get a discount and the public does not. So there's your incentive right there. Just saying. Okay, what's your plug?
I want to plug the Discord. We've had some people joining, and I think we've had some really good conversation on there. We have actually come up with some t-shirt ideas. We have two t-shirts that I've already got some mock-ups for. One that says Pine Sucks, and the other one that says Stay Toasty. So we want to start using those as a way for, have a way for you to give a little money towards the podcast so that we can use it to offset some of the costs and get something out of it. You know, have some kind of cool thing to wear to markets or wherever it is and to kind of help publicize the podcast. We really want to see this start getting some legs and getting in front of more people in the community and start building a community around it. So please join the Discord, become part of the conversation, contribute to discussions on what we're going to be talking about on future episodes, and help us come up with cool ideas for things that we can start making available to our Toasties.
What is our Discord?
The Discord is, there's a link to it in every one of the show notes for the podcast. It's also on the website. I tried to put it everywhere I can. Cool. Because I think it's a great way for us to have conversations. Yeah. With some of the fans, and some of the folks have really kind of embraced it. So you know who you are. And we really appreciate your commitment and your enthusiasm around the podcast.
Amazing.
Oh, and I want to plug our blog, our personal blog, the one that we do every week, but we've kind of fallen off this past week because we're busy as all get out. But yeah, I want to promote our blog. The link will be in the show notes as well.
It's blog.bzfurfur.com.
Amazing.
Yes. Or you could just go to bzfurfur.com and there's a little tab that says blog.
Blog. Okay. All right. I think that's it for plugs.
Cool. I think so.
And absolutely do not, under any circumstances, forget to stay toasty.